in terms of what's the, you know, the next holy day that we're looking forward to is the celebration of Pentecost Sunday, right? So this is the second Sunday after Easter. In fact, did you know much of the body of Christ in different parts of the world do their calendar starting from Easter? So in fact, in devotionals and things like that, it would say at the date, it would say the second Sunday after Easter. And they'll follow that all the way through until next Easter, and then they'll start that over again. Because the idea is had Jesus not risen from the dead, how many of you know we wouldn't be doing church? Right? But he did, and we are. So thank God for that. So we're looking forward to Pentecost Sunday. And Jesus, when he left, he told the disciple, he told us in Scripture that when he would go away, that he wouldn't leave us as orphans, right? But he'd send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. And thank God for that. We live in a unique, wonderful age. Amen? Not only just age on this side of the cross, but age just where we are. Thank God for that. So I just felt led to talk about a phrase that a friend of mine came up with, an orphan's heart. And we'll spend the next few weeks talking about this. It says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And then Proverbs 4:23, these are two verses that we're going to be reading every time. One translation reads this way, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Keep your heart, New King James, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, springs forth the issues of life. And so we just kind of opened up a little bit, and I just kind of want to talk about what I mean when I talk about this concept of an orphan's heart. We're a tripart being, right? There's three parts to a human. We call it the trichotomy of man. And what are those three parts? What's the one that will live forever? Spirit. We are a spirit, right? That eternal being will live forever in two places, with God or without God, correct? Are you with me so far? We are a spirit. We have a soul. Our soul, what resides within the soulish realm? Our mind. This is, I'm just condensing it down. Our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? That comprises our soul. Now let me just say this. When I talk about heart, I'm not talking about spirit. I'm talking about our spirit and our soul. That comprises heart. Does that make sense? Why would it put it together? In the book of Hebrews, it talks about the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can divide asunder between joints and marrow and soul and spirit. In other words, the connection, the overlay, the dovetail, however you'd want to say it, between soul and spirit, it's not a distinct line. Does that make sense? I mean, it's not this line in the sand type of a deal. They're so connected that it takes something more than just thought to separate the two. Have you ever confused yourself? Am I just, you've done this maybe in talking to maybe a friend about where you are in God. You've thought, well, I don't know if that's just me coming up with that, or I don't know if it's my spirit. They're connected, right? They really are. And they go together. And so when I refer to an orphan's heart, I'm talking primarily about that soulish realm, but it involves the two, right? How many of you know that our spirit as a believer is recreated and is a brand new creation in Christ Jesus? And it's perfect, if I could say it that way. Does that make sense? It's not flawed. Human beings, because of the fall, are flawed. Does that make sense? Okay. But that flaw doesn't reside in our spirit in terms of we're made a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. In other words, when we give our heart to Jesus Christ, I don't know, I'll spend just a bit of time and just feel a little bit of unction to talk that way. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word new in the Greek, because new is translated in English from two Greek words. One is brand new, never existed before. The other one is renewed. To give you an example, when Jesus talked about putting wine in a wineskin, in the English version, it reads, you don't put new wine in an old wineskin, but you put new wine in a new wineskin. What's interesting is when it says you put new wine in a new wineskin, it's two different Greek words. You put, if I could give an expanded maybe description, you put brand new wine in a renewed wineskin. Okay? It's not. So when we're a new creation in Christ Jesus, that's brand new. Everybody say brand new. In other words, God just didn't kind of give you an overhaul, you know, and kind of change your gasket and you're good to go. When we become a Christian, we become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And so our soulish realm is what we're referring to primarily when we're talking about this orphan's heart. It's in our soulish realm, in our mind, our will, and our emotions that we find difficulties that give us, if I could say it this way, that sort of gives us fits. It's in that realm that the orphan's heart idea really resides. It's the will of God for every one of us to have a whole heart. How many of you know it's the will of God that in our mind, our will, and emotions, that be whole? Everybody say whole. And how does it become unwhole? There's a ton of things that can cause ourselves to become unwhole. How many of you know the little kid that grew up in an abusive environment has some issues in his soulish realm or their soulish realm, right? There's some stuff that needs to get fixed. There's some baggage that needs to get cleaned out. There's some stuff that needs to be done away with to have that healthy, vibrant heart. Does that make sense? A spouse, maybe a lady. I know spousal abuse can go the other way, but primarily it's, you know, one way. The lady that got married when she was young and got the stuffings beat out of her for the last year, you know, 10 years of her life. How many of you know her soulish realm is going to be goofed up? It's going to be affected in a negative way. And here's the cool thing that we need to keep in mind in all of this is that how many of you know God's great at fixing things that are broken? Amen? God's great at making things that are apart. God's great at making them whole and healthy. Amen? One of the characteristics, and I'm going to stick with my notes so I can really cover some stuff here. One of the characteristics of an orphan heart that seems to be true, and I just have to say in my years of dealing with people, I'll just leave it at that. It's tough for one of the things that I see that shows me an unhealthy heart is when somebody has a difficult time assessing who they really are. Amen? Does that make sense at all? In other words, becoming self-aware is really crucial to getting on the road to establishing a healthy heart. Much of the condition of our heart and our attitudes were established in our earlier part of life, right? Our childhood environment gets carried out into our adult years. Life experiences affect our heart. Our relationship with the Lord and our on-purpose renewal of our mind is the path toward healing the orphaned heart. So God's done, when we give our heart to Jesus Christ, God has given us a brand new spirit. So we're good to go there. But how many of you know from that moment in time, renewing the mind, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice unto the Lord, right? That you be, and then verse 2, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can experience that God's will is good, perfect, and acceptable. I wish that when we gave our heart to Jesus Christ, all of the stuff that we experienced in life just got a brand new start. I just wish there would be a USB transfer, right? Wouldn't you just love to go online in heaven and get your new software update and everything's fixed? All of the past failures, all of the past tough stuff or whatever, that it would just go away. And I know a lot of times people will just say, well, listen, we're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. All that stuff's gone. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have to really look at what all things are become new. If all things had become new that involve our soulish realm, there would be no reason to renew our mind to the Word of God. Amen? Now, what we're not trying to do is we're not trying to get a tractor and go plowing up your past. Okay? We're not trying to do that. But you know what I find? I find it very rare for Christians that have issues that can honestly look at themselves and identify those issues. Okay, that went over well. It's pretty rare to find somebody that can look and just say, you know what, I've got this issue. I have this propensity. I've got this thing that, you know what, I really need to bring before the Lord and take care of. What do we tend to do? We tend to hide it. Sometimes we try to live like it's not there, or it's Julie's fault. Sorry, if your name's Julie, that's just a generic. That's from Rocket Man. Okay, right? It wasn't my fault, it was Julie. Right? Or as adults, maybe you know it's easy to blame our mom and dad. It's easy to blame the people in our life in our early years that maybe got us to a spot that there's kind of an unhealth in our soulish realm. It's easy to blame that. Listen, I'd say this. As adults, we've got to take responsibility where we are and go from there. And take that before the cross and go from there. Did I have a perfect mom and dad? No, I did not. Did I grow up in a Leave It to Beaver home? No, I did not. But you know what? I'm an adult now. And, okay, so there's maybe some things that I can pinpoint. I can look at and go, you know, kids like me that grew up and lost a parent that you were really close to at a young age. Yeah, there's kind of a hole in a person's heart that whatever. But so do I blame God? Do I blame, you know, whatever? No, it is what it is. And here's the thing. I don't have to remain, anybody else, with whatever we experienced when we were young, we don't have to remain there. We can go past that. Amen? And we can develop and get that heart that's just tender and whatever. If you feel like your life is on course with the Lord, that everything's good, then maybe you'll only need to make some minor adjustments to continually stay on track. But if there's things in your life that go in a cyclical pattern, one problem to the next. The details change, but it's the same thing over and over and over again. And continuing nagging problems never leave. Then maybe it's time for some major life changes and a serious effort to change the course to get on the path to experiencing God's best. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? If a job lasts a year, 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years, and then it's always some idiot boss that caused you to have to quit. Maybe you've got an issue. Amen? Maybe you work hard to get out of debt. You're out of debt. 3 years later, you're in debt deeper than you were before, and it's just a cyclical, cyclical, cyclical deal. Then maybe we need to change some things. If you continually have a different best friend every year, maybe there's some things we need to change. Does that make sense? Let me speak to fathers for just a moment. And the reason I talk about fathers is, number one, I can't talk about moms from experience because I'm not one. But the role of a father in a person's life is huge. Would you agree with that? All data tell us, you know, Christian, secular data tell us the role of a father is so important. And so if we had a fathering situation, maybe a lack of a father, maybe a father that didn't know Christ, maybe a father who knew Christ but didn't walk it out, you know, whatever, okay? Maybe that's led to some insecurities, inferiority, defensiveness. Maybe it causes us to say, I already know, when we don't even understand. So guys, I just want to encourage us as men and as dads, don't be afraid to take a look at ourselves. We're not perfect. We don't have all the answers, but we do serve a God who does. Amen. And so for us, the reason I just bring this out is that it's easy for us as men. It's easy for us if we are a father. It's easy for us to try to live life and have this front to us that just looks 10-foot tall and bulletproof, and we've got it together, bless God. I just want to encourage us that if we don't have it together, if we're not perfect, first of all, don't be surprised. The person next to you isn't either. But who is in our life that we can begin to work on these things that can help us along the way? Just something. Children whose fathers don't provide a biblical example often develop a broken, confused, angry heart, untrusting, suspicious of people to some degree or another. Whatever our fathers have done or not done, if we're now an adult, let's just determine it's too late to blame. We've got to move on from where we are. Is that okay? We've got to go on from here. We can recognize this, that you know what? Let's get to the spot that we just say, hey, in Christ, I've got an area that I can grow in, that you know what? Out of the abundance of the heart, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? Good things, right? So you know what? We've got some great days ahead of us. So listen, whether it's relationships, finances, physical need, or any other area, our heart is our control center. Amen? That's why if our heart is orphaned, your life is broken. If our heart is whole, our life is full. You know, when we look on these cyclical things, and I know it's a sensitive topic, but how many of us have lost 10 pounds 30 or 40 times? Right? We're going to do it. Bless God, we're going to get healthy. We're going to do it. Oh, going to do it. Are you with me? Is it possible? Why is it that in America is the most plugged-in society in the world? America has at its fingertips some of the greatest information in the world. Why are there still things that are growing that are negative? You ever wonder? In talking about, it's just an example that comes to my mind. In talking about things like obesity, America's got it going on in terms of the information. But did you know what? America is the most obese nation in the world, and our obesity rates are growing exponentially. But we've got the best of the best of the best of the best. I just wonder, is it because there's a lot of orphaned hearts out there that aren't whole? Amen? An inferior and insecure heart is consumed with what others think about it, always wondering what others people are thinking. People's sense of value and self-worth affects everyone. These feelings come from how we were growing up, come from different people in our life. The feeling of being valued is essential to a healthy soul and is the cornerstone of self-discipline. A whole heart creates wholeness throughout the rest of our life. Amen? In other words, keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it, from the heart, flow all the issues of life. I'm convinced that many of the things that we battle as a society has nothing to do with physiological things in many things. I think much of it has to deal with the fact that there's a bunch of orphaned hearts out there that aren't whole, that don't realize, don't want to realize, don't want to recognize. I've got some stuff that I need to take, if I could say it this way, to use maybe some old Christian English, that we just need to take to the cross and say, hey, I need to deal with this. Amen? Any of you read the book, The Road Less Traveled? If you haven't, it's a pretty good read. Scott Peck is the author. He writes about the heart and lack of discipline that results from the problems of the heart. Abandonment, rejection, or indifference from parents and make it difficult to become a strong, secure person. The main problem for the person with an orphaned heart is difficulty in growing and changing. When a child's abandoned or rejected, their heart becomes callous to relationships, even though the thing they desire the most is to have a relationship. They desire love. So they go through life having difficulty developing strong relationships. Many people with an orphaned heart believe that good can't last. They're convinced that something's going to happen that will cause the good that's happening to stop. The orphaned heart is spiritually weak, struggles with confidence and trusting God the Father. Did you know many people have no problem trusting in Jesus because they hear that Jesus is our brother, right? They kind of see their relationship with Jesus on somewhat of an, if you could say it this way, a different level than the relationship with God the Father. You ever wonder about that? I see this all the time. When I say, I guess, I'm not a licensed counselor, so I can't use the word counsel. Legally. So when I'm meeting with people and giving them advice, what I find is that for some, they can identify with Jesus really well. But the instant you start talking about God the Father, now all of a sudden, there's issues. Why? Because maybe if something in their past, and you know, as tragic as it may be, it's okay if we've had issues with our past. But you know what? The thing is that we don't have to stay there. Amen? Go to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to talk you through it, okay, until we get to. This is the story of where a ruler, I think is the King James word, but a master, went away, traveled for a while, and he left 5 talents with one, right? And he left how many talents with the next? 2. And then how many talents with another one? 1. Okay. So he goes away and then he comes back. And when he comes back, now stop and think about this. There's obviously enough confidence that this master had that he left some of his money with other people. So forget about amount for a moment. So he left with 1, 5 talents. He left with another couple talents and he left with another 1 talent. But the fact is he left his money in the hands of somebody other than himself. So right off the bat, all of 3 of those people ought to feel what? Wow, honored. Their master left them some money. Doesn't matter how much. What's interesting is some people would just concentrate on, well, you got more than I did. That's an orphan's heart speaking, by the way, right? Because there must be something wrong with me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. That's an orphan's heart. Well, why did you get 5? I only got 1. He must not like what? Doesn't matter. So take amount out of it for a moment. All 3 of them, their master, had enough confidence in them to leave them money. Right? So he goes away, comes back. Number 1 comes up and says, hey, you gave me 5. I'm giving you 5 more. Cool. The master replies back and said, this is kind of shawl paraphrase, way to go, dude. You rock. Enter into the joy of the Lord, right? Next one steps up and says, hey, you gave me 2, I'm giving you 2 more. Comes to the 3rd one. The only reason I bring this up is because this 3rd one had what I'll call an orphan's heart. His boss had enough faith in him to give him some money. Notice that the boss didn't say, you have to double this. It's nowhere in the story. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. So this boss didn't say, hey, you're in trouble. If you don't double this, you're in trouble. He never said that at all. But these other 2, for just sake of the sermon, had a healthy heart. They brought forth good things. The 3rd one comes and he steps up and he says, I know you're a hard man. And I know you reap where you did not sow. So you know what? I went and hid the talent. Just so that you could get your money back. So here's your money. Aren't you happy? What did the guy respond back? The boss responded back and says, you're right. I do reap where I didn't sow. What does that mean, by the way? Whole other topic. But when you talk about finances, there's some Christians that feel like you can't make money on a mutual fund, or you can't make money, you know, in a savings account or whatever. That's reaping where you did not sow. Are you with me? Some people think that's just totally wrong, totally, you know, whatever. I just don't get that from that. But anyhow, he says, you're right. I reap where I didn't sow. So why did you go hide the talent? He said, at the very least, you could have put it in the bank, right? You could have put it in the bank and I'd have at least been able to get interest. I could have reaped where I didn't sow. So we'll just stop right there as you read that maybe on your own. Here's the interesting thing. This guy had an orphan's heart. He was, what's interesting is the boss saw something in him positive, right? But he was sabotaged, not by his boss, not by the environment. He just didn't try. Something on the inside of his soulish realm got the best of him, right? Where are we in that? The orphan's heart is one that has a tough time trusting people, but trusting God in particular. It's hungry for attention, approval, validation. Self-promotion begins to be the hallmark of the conversation. We live in a society where titles, names of positions, medals all make us feel important. As opposed to knowing that our worth doesn't come from attention given to us, but rather from knowing what God thinks of us and being content with what the God of the universe feels about us. We are His creation and here's His child. Amen? The orphan's heart struggles with insecurity. You love them, pray for them, care for them, but after a period they begin to think it's time to move on. People are going to get to know the real me, and they aren't going to like the real me. They get nervous when people start getting close. Let me read you a real-life scenario that I created. I've seen this happen hundreds of times. Somebody begins attending a church, maybe our church, maybe somebody else's church. I've seen this not only in our church, I've seen it, heard it from other pastors. Somebody begins attending a church, and because of insecurity, because of an orphan's heart, they begin to feel like people are getting too close. They don't fully trust people. They have this need for tons of attention. But the orphan's heart begins to invent reasons why they should get out of Dodge. They can't leave with a valid excuse, so they begin to look for things to criticize. Well, when I dropped the kids off at the nursery, the worker had a bad attitude and looked at me cross-eyed. Pastor didn't shake my hand. I came up to get prayed for, and somebody, the person I wanted to pray for me, wouldn't pray for me. The ushers are rude. Tom. The church has changed. I don't feel the same anointing when I first started coming here. Of course not, because now you have your list going of all the criticisms that you could make. Once you have enough criticisms together to give you what you feel like is a valid reason to leave, then you leave, check out, start the same cycle over and over and over again. When I first came here and went to a few of the pastors, got together, it was humorous but sad all at the same time. One of the pastors mentioned that he had liked to create baseball cards for church people because we were just trading baseball cards anyhow. So, unfortunately, a few names came up. None of you here. A few names came up, says, hey, I'll give you one. Now, these are generic names. The names have changed to protect the innocent, protect the guilty. I'll give you two Marys for three bills. We laughed, but all of us also felt sorry all at the same time. Because a lot of times... So does that mean that once you start going to a church, you can never leave? No, not at all. That's not even mentioned to suggest that. But would you agree that a lot of times an orphan's heart will sabotage somebody's place of acceptance because they just can't settle with where they are and let people know, if I could say it this way, know their junk, not the whole world, but just realize, you know what? How many of you know we're all a piece of work? Try to say that as just life-giving as possible. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a piece of work. Okay. Can we say that? But we all are, aren't we? Aren't we all just, and here's what I would encourage you to do as a visual. Don't see church as a place that can just minister to you, or don't see church as a place that you can just minister to others. If I could say it this way, this visual I think can help. See the church as a hospital that we go to get better. So it's not about who's sicker. It's not about who's healthier. It's about let's all get better. That's what it's about. It's not about competing for who has the worst situation. It's none of that at all. So in other words, it's okay for me to look and see another patient. It's okay for me to look and see a person that's in a different room, battling a different... The whole thing is I just want to walk through the hallways of the hospital, encouraging everybody, you're getting better, we can do this. Let's get healthy. And that's what we can do. We can all become each other's fan, as opposed to pointing our fingers. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, there's just a verse. Do you remember a guy by the name of Mephibosheth? Say it three times, by the way, fast. But right? Mephibosheth. Does anybody know what his name means in Hebrew? It means dispeller of shame. Now, how would you like to have that name? That you just dispel shame. Only reason I bring it up is... it's a person that I think has an orphan's heart. Jonathan, Saul's son, who had a son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse took him up and fled, and it happened, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. His name was Dispeller of Shame. Unfortunately, that accident that happened in Mephibosheth's young life as a five-year-old, they're running for their lives. Anybody remember? I don't have $5 on me, but I'll give you $5 if you can tell me the name of his nursemaid. You can't. Former pastors can't talk. Okay, I'm off the hook. They're running, falls, breaks the kid's foot, and he's lame from that time on. Now, how many of you know having a broken foot, maybe even having a disfigured foot, does not mean that you're less than of a person, right? But somewhere along the line, that Dispeller of Shame name described who Mephibosheth was. Do you remember how the story ends? Do you remember? David begins to restore, in my opinion, that broken heart, that orphan's heart. Because David says, I want to find anybody that's left that's of the offspring of Jonathan. Why? Because David and Jonathan were what? They were in covenant together, right? And he said, find him. So they searched throughout the land, found Mephibosheth, and guess what? David brought Mephibosheth into the king's court and says, listen, shall paraphrase again. Hold your head up high, dude. You're going to eat at my table until you die. Right? Begin to put value back into his life. Because how many of you know, being lame doesn't mean you're a less than person, right? So, just wanted to bring out a couple of those examples. We'll end with this. The healthy treasure in your heart will accomplish and clear the path that the destiny of God that he has for us, we can fulfill. Amen? At the end of life, we'll be able to stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Just as that master told those two that took the talents that he had gave them, he said, enter in, well done, good and faithful servant. A whole, healthy, and strong heart will contain treasures that will bring forth a successful life. If you're married, a happy marriage, great children, prosperous business, etc. What I mean by that, out of the good treasure out of our heart flows forth good things. Amen. If we'll keep our heart with all diligence, tend to it, begin to get it into a place of health, wow. Look out. Look what will come forth from our lives. Amen. Even though there may be of things in our past that have hindered us up to this moment in time, you know what? They don't have to be that way for the rest of our lives. Amen? Is that okay? We're going to talk about heart problems next week. And actually, Rob's going to be speaking. I'll be in Bulgaria. Encourage you to pray for a trip. We leave tomorrow morning. So we're believing God for a great trip. Amen? Let's all stand up and get ready to celebrate communion.